Okay. Let's start. Welcome to the Data Modeling Database System course. This is one of the very rare occasions that you're going to see two of us together here, because we have the course covers quite a lot of topics. So this is kind of the rundown. When we get into the end of November, we're going to look back and say, hey, we covered a lot of ground. But now we're going to say, oh, wow, what a long way we have to go. These topics, my name is Rune, and I'm going to cover the topics that are related to programming and to XML. But luckily, you don't have to see me the whole semester, because half of the time you will see Dipti.
Hi. Yeah, so I will be covering topics related with SQL and conceptual and logical modeling. A little bit of normalization. These words may seem right now a little bit foreign to you, but we will learn everything together.
So what we'll do is we'll start really hitting the ground running, because within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you will have your first database application to implement. I'll guide you through this. So before knowing anything about querying, anything about designing, you're going to have your first system. It's going to be a steep 3 weeks, I'm quite sure on that. It was last year, and it will most likely be this year. But I think the advantage is that when you get into the querying and the data modeling, you know why the reason we're doing this. What are the types of applications that we're going to end up doing? So at the very end here, hopefully, we have you have learned a lot, and we have had a mostly good experience. But there will be bumps, I'm quite sure on that. What we'll do today is to talk about the course. So Dipti will be with us for the first 45 minutes. We talk about the course, and then after the break, we talk a little bit about databases and what they are, and what they're used for, and a little bit about the environment that we're going to be using in this course. Because what you're going to learn is how to develop database applications, and that's kind of a general topic. But in reality, you need to have a programming language, you need to have a database system with a certain, it could be like we're going to do here, relational databases, but it could be other databases. So we had to pick something, and what we picked, we'll talk about it a little bit later on, is maybe not the most modern. You find lots of systems out there now that are more popular in the moment, but these are still quite valuable and quite a lot of used systems, and what you're going to learn is quite valuable across various systems. So we're going to focus more on the general topic of databases and data management, and a little bit less on these actual systems, but we have to use some system to get our hands dirty and do some hands-on. Now, read the formal course description carefully. We're going to be going according to it. We're going to cover the topics that are listed there, and we're going to do it as described there. And among the most important things is that there are going to be 6 assignments, and you need to have 5 of them approved. So just plan to make sure that you don't miss more than one. The textbook, oh, I thought I was going to bring the textbook. I forgot. The textbook is Connell and Begg, it should be in the bookstore, and you could buy it, of course, on the net as well. There are other alternatives. As I said, we're going to be covering general database topics, so we will find other resources. But it is an advantage to have a textbook like this that will go through other examples than what we were covering and tell the story from maybe a little bit different perspective, and that will help you get your understanding of what this is all about. Blackboard. That is where we have everything. We're trying at least to keep everything there. So, if you go to Blackboard, this is how we put it up. We have the course information, which doesn't say much. Okay, I've been out for too long. It's a link to the Wasn't that great? Oops, maybe a little too much. So we have the general information about us and a link to the official course description. What's more relevant is here and the learning material. We will list whatever resources you're going to be using. It's still a bit small. Okay. So I divide into required readings. That's what you are going to be the basic for what you're going to be expected to learn. And we have some recommended readings that will help you better understand. And we have some resources. And among the resources, you have archive of lecture videos. You will find last year's lectures and the lectures we were having the year before. They will be available. And you could watch them. If you missed a lecture, you could go back and look there. And I will give you, recommend you to watch some of these lectures before this year's lectures, because we're going to do a little bit of tweaking. So I'm not going to spend so much time going through basics. I'm going to have you prepare, and then we'll go through more of the use of it in the lectures, this year lectures. And you find information about previous exams, assignments. You won't see any of the assignments listed until you enroll in the group. This is set up as a group assignment, so you can work in groups. You can also work individually, but if you want to work individually, you have to sign up for a special group that is for individual students. And you won't see any of this before you sign in, but I have a link to the first assignment here, so while you are trying to form the groups, you can still look at the assignment text. But before you can submit the assignment, you have to enroll and tell what group you're going to be in. In the lectures tab, we keep everything about the lecture, what we're going to be covering. You always find the lecture notes, a link to the lecture notes. So what I'm going to show today is already on Blackboard. I usually put it up in the morning before we come to lectures. Then if you want, you can pull down the lecture notes and look at the lecture notes as we're going through the lecture. So you don't have to sit down and try to write everything that's on the slides.
Rooney, there is a question.
A question? I'm going to come back to the assignment. This is just showing Blackboard, and we talk about the elements, but I do recommend that you work in groups. But we'll come back to that. So we'll talk more about the assignments in just a slide or two. But you find everything here. That's the point. And even you find that this year we do something differently. We have, as you can see in your calendars, you have some time slots that says preparations for lectures. And I had a couple of questions already what this all means, and we'll come back to that in a couple of seconds. So, keep an eye on Blackboard. That's where everything is all the material you need should be accessible from there. The exam is going to be in the middle of or 11th of December, and it's a 5-hour written exam. It's going to be in Inspera, digital exam. If you look at the setup for the week, we have lecture today and lecture on Thursday, and we have lab research for you on Wednesday and on Thursday. Couple of notes. Number one is, if you haven't been to these two labs before, especially the A255, the wireless is quite crappy there. So you should bring your own cable to connect to the network there. So bring your Ethernet cable. And the other thing is that this one is wrong. This should be the first up there. These two preparations for class are calendar entries that are in your calendar, but you have no activity. I mean, you have no room to come to. You have me and Depty won't be there, but it's time reserved for you to read and prepare. So when we meet for the lectures, you have read or worked on something that we per week, per lecture, we will tell you what you should read, and you don't have to read the night before if you plan on spending this time on reading and preparing. Because then we can do have less time to explain new stuff, and we can work on something that you've already been reading, something you already started working on. And hopefully that will give you a deeper and better understanding, rather than just trying to listen to us talk about all new stuff. Just keep an eye on this lecture, because a couple of weeks we're not going to be in S206 on that Thursday. So just keep an eye on the calendar so you know where you're going to be meeting. Now, assignments. We come back to your question about assignments. So assignments are important. And you will see that we have the first assignment is for 3 weeks. We have a little bit of startup time this week, and then 2 weeks to really work on it next week and the week after. And after that, every assignment has 2 weeks. Now, what we know from before is that it's quite busy in the labs on Wednesday and Thursday, the second week. But the first week, there's almost no one working on it. These assignments are larger than what you think. They seem to be easy and okay, but there is more work than what you think. I can guarantee you, for almost all of you, there's more work than what you think. So start early. Start already the first week. That there will be more help to get, there is less crowded people, you have more time to fix the problems. So get started and work evenly, even though you don't have to submit until the end of the 2 week period. Now the question, group or individual? We could do either. I would recommend signing up as a group, or we would recommend signing up as a group. Why is that? Number one, it means that you have somebody to discuss and share ideas with, assuming that you all work on every part. Don't be tempted to work on one third each, then you don't learn much. Try to really work as a group together and share your experiences, share your solutions, your ideas, and work together. You're going to learn more. Now, for some, it doesn't work. Some of you won't be here on these days. Some of you have some activities that make it easier for you to work individually. So it is possible to sign up as individuals, but I would recommend working as teams. It would also make it easier for us and for the teaching assistants to assist fewer groups rather than many individuals having the same problem. I hope you see that. So unless you really want to, or you really see that you can't work in a group, I would recommend signing up in a group. Would that answer your question? Good. We're going to be using MariaDB, also is a sister of MySQL, if you heard about MySQL, and PHP MyAdmin. So we'll come back to that. The first thing I recommend you doing is to install XAMPP on your computer, if you don't have it already. XAMPP is a tool, or is an installation package that would install everything you need. The database, PHP MyAdmin, the web server, what we're going to be using. So go ahead and get that started on your computer right away, and then you have the environment you need. Lectures will be recorded. So you can see on my first slide, it says recording in progress. We will not record any of your voices. You don't have a microphone, so your voice won't be recorded. We won't see your faces unless you come here, up here. Now, last year, I let the recording go for the 2 hours, which means that if anyone come up here in the break, they will be recorded. This year, I won't do that. I will just record 45 minutes and then 45 minutes. So if you have questions in the break, you won't be on the video. But just be aware that there's a chance that you're going to be recorded if you pass by as the video is being recorded. Which means that if you go to Forelesning Higgenau, publish, you'll find recordings from last year, the year before. So we are sharing these recordings. And the recordings from this year will also end up there. I assume that you will spend about 15 hours per week on this course in total. So if you spend a lot more, then you should tell us. Then we have done something wrong. Then the assignments are too big, or we expect too much of you. But so far, I think most students are using less, and that's not a good idea. Spend about that. Target 15 hours. Quality assurance. We can't improve if we don't know what the problem is. So if you have a problem, give us a hint the sooner you tell us, the easier it is for us to change or to adapt or fix it. If you don't know, then it may come to a point where it's much harder. So, meaning, when we say 5 out of 6 assignments need to be approved, if you have something coming up, if you need to go on military service or something, so you're going to miss one of those dates, talk to us and we extend the date for you. But we won't necessarily excuse you afterwards unless you have a medical certificate saying that you were sick. We won't excuse, but if you say, okay, my plan is that I'm going to be away this week, I'm going to be in Trondheim to do some student representative work this week, so can I have an extension? Yes, you can. But you need to have that approved before the submission date. So talk to us, whatever, and to the TAs. Unfortunately, I can't tell you who and how many TAs you're going to have. We have. I hope we're going to have more than what's on my notepad right now, but there will be TAs to help you, and talk to them or talk to us after the lecture or in our offices or in the lab or wherever. The other part of this is that we should have a reference group. So we would need one student from each of the 3 classes to join us for these reference group meetings. You know that whole reference group system? Yeah. And I can tell that Dipti and I, we have been having this for years, and we have learned a lot. And I think that the courses have improved. Through, we have been fixing problems in the given year, and we have improved from one year to the other. So if we don't get that reference group up and running, it's a disadvantage to you and to the students next year. So we need somebody. And you, I'm going to do this on Thursday. We'll try to find the names. We have the names this week, so you don't have to volunteer now. But think about it. And if you are interested in the subject and you're interested in meeting with us 3 times or so during the fall, then volunteer and we'll have somebody we can discuss this with. But doesn't mean that if you don't get picked, that you can't tell us what you mean or what you think. You should anyway. I mean, if you have an issue, if you have something you'd like to talk to us about, just raise the issue. A bit of an educational philosophy. This is trying to set the stage for how we're going to do this course. So this is my thoughts, but I think Dipti shares this. So number one, to me, learning is discovering. So I can go through a lot of stuff with you, but unless you are interested in discovering what this means, you won't learn much. Maybe you can try to remember something for an exam and hopefully try to get an okay grade, but to learn databases, you have to discover what it's all about. And discovering is a completely subjective process. I can't discover for you. You have to discover yourself. So what matters here is how much time you put into not trying to remember what we say, but trying to discover what it means. So we, Dipti and I and the TAs, we can point to things. We can show you things. We can make you aware of what matters that we think are important to you. But unless you go into discovery mode, you can't learn much. Which means that we will provide you a playing ground, a ground for discovery, but we may not we may not have the complete recipe. If you do this, you're going to end up with a good result. Yeah. That is a process you have to take responsibility for. For the next few lectures, I've said that you should bring your computer because some of the things we're going to be working on requires a computer. Now, there was some research at NTNU in Trondheim a couple of years back saying that students learn more if they took notes using a pen. Now, it's still debated. But I think what we know is that the harder you make the task, the more you're going to learn. So if you just copy my slides and put it on a computer, you don't learn much. If you write a little bit on the computer next to my slides, you learn more. If you make drawings and notes and arrows and mind maps or whatever, you are much more active. And it's the fact of being active that is going to be the learning. It's not necessarily the pen itself. It's the whole process And the more active you are, the more you're going to learn. So if you sit down, or like some students do, they see that these lectures are streamed. So rather than waking up early, go up early in the morning, they sit in their beds and have me lecturing on the side while they're reading news and eating breakfast. I'm not so sure they learn a lot from that. So one of those theories for how learning may happen, and which I think is quite applicable here, and that will help us trying to get the right state of mind, is that learning very often starts by you having an experience. So that's why we're going to go straight into you develop a database application. So you're going to experience what that entails and involves. From that experience, it can be very frustrating because there's so much thing and you don't know and you don't understand. So you need to reflect a bit on it. What did actually happen? What did I see? How did this work? Why was this the case? Why didn't this happen? And that will help you into trying to create a more generic, a more abstract understanding of what is the database, how is the interaction between the database and the web and the browser, and you're trying to get an idea and model to understand how that is. And then, as the English are saying, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So you're going to experiment to see, am I right? If my understanding is correct, then this should happen when I do this. And we try again. So this is what we like to, the process we would like to see. That we play around with the tools, with the assignments, with everything. And what we do here in the lectures and what we do in the lab and whenever we meet is to try to facilitate this process. From experiment, trying to reflect and understand, from that understanding, trying to create this higher model, the abstract understanding of what it's all about, and then make a plan, make a test for how we can verify that we are right, and then we go through those circles. Is this similar to what you, the way you study, the way you think and work? Because if you think that you're going to come here and get a list of technologies and you go home and you use exactly the technologies, then you don't learn much. It's through this working on the problem, being frustrated is part of this. I would say that if you are never frustrated, you're not going to learn much. So there are going to be lots of frustrations. The thing here is that you need to tell us if you're experiencing the wrong frustrations. Frustration related to understanding is good. Frustrations because there is something that we have set up that is not complete or we have broken something, that's not so good. Something that we're going to try this year is to interact a little bit with a big audience using Mentimeter that NTNU has just subscribed to. And let's see if we can get this to work. So we would like to know a little bit more about you. And that's why we're going to try this. So if you go to, with your computers or mobile or whatever, go to menti.com and use that code. We would like to know what is your motivation for doing the database course. And you can we give you the choice of two. So you could say not just one course, but two. So is it because you have to? Is it because you think and you know, not just think, you know that database competence will make you more attractive when you're going to be applying for a job? Or you like to conquer challenging topics? Or you're just motivated to learn anything new? I'm that type. I like anything. If it's something new, I'm going to jump into it because learning is something I like. Or you happen to be all those who just like hard work. Pick two, and then we'll see how many have internalized motivation and how many have more the external. Everybody's able to come into Menti? Yeah? Motivated to learn. Very good. Yeah, of course, you have to do it. So that's, since I gave you the choice of doing two, it's obvious. 20 saying motivated to conquer challenging topics. Yeah, for the remaining audience, there will be challenging topics that you need to conquer, but that's where working in groups would make sense. So if you work in groups, you have somebody to discuss, you have somebody to help you out. Very good. I hope you're honest on this, because if you are motivated, it also means that you need to put time and efforts into getting there. So that is good. Let me see. Go into the next. Now, what keywords do you associate with database? If I say database, what's your first word that comes to your mind? What's the first association? Type in some words that you think belong to database. Pain. Oh, I like that. Means learning to me. When I see pain, I see learning opportunities. SQL, storage, data, information. Queries. Yeah, very good. It means that, MongoDB was there. It disappeared, but it was there somewhere. MySQL, MongoDB. Some systems, object-oriented, SQLite. It seems that some of you have had some experience already. The interesting thing, though, is that I was expecting some more related to applications, banking or traveling or something like this, because, I mean, we are technology people seeing this from a technology point of view, but really, databases is about the users. Facebook, huge database. Instagram, these are all huge databases. So interesting, this is a tech perspective, not so much a user perspective. Yeah. Which I guess was to be expected. We're going to come back to, of course, data, storage, and SQL is something that we've been covering in much detail. Yeah. And of course, querying. XML. Table is an implementation for relational databases.
Yeah, XML.
XML comes in. Yeah. Hacking, interesting. We do have, and hacking is extremely important. I don't know if any of you were in the opening ceremony for this year's semester, but the invited speakers, we talked a lot about security. And I'm going to have a week where we talk about security, and I'm going to include a reference where I'm going to say it's shameful that we as developer still makes crappy software in terms of security. So this is an important topic. Okay, so let's go on to the next question. We want to know a little bit about your... let me see. A little bit about your background. what experience do you have with databases? And what you said, you're never programmed, not designed. You have programmed it, or you have designed it, or you have both programmed and designed a database before. Doesn't have to be a big one.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a kind of product type of database. But if you have at all designed a database or programmed an application using database data or done both, that's what we'd like to know. Oops, sorry. It's twice as many never done as those who have done both, and some in the middle. And that is, again, might be a good reason for working in groups, because if some has some experience already, it might provide a good basis for discussion. But be careful. If you want to learn working in a group, don't let the one who knows this already do the work, because then you're not going to learn anything. And he's lucky, because he's going to have more experience and going to learn more, something that he's already or she already knows. So make sure that if you haven't done it before, make sure that you get to do it along with those who have done it before.
Yeah.
And then the same thing for... web applications. Have you never created web pages or programmed web app before? You have some experience making web pages. You have programmed web applications, but you haven't really done much on the web page design, or you've done both. I should say I'm very happy to see numbers that you actually do you do submit your answers, because that makes it easy for us to understand what audience we are we have and how we can make this into a best experience, hopefully, for everyone. So less experience on the programming side is less. So this is what we're going to be jumping in on Thursday. We're going to do already. We're going to talk about the web architecture. We talk about the web technologies. So we're going to jump right in here on Thursday. And then for the next couple of weeks, this is what we're going to be our playing ground. And then we leave it for a while you learn how to design databases and learn how to query databases. And we're going to come back to it again when I get back into towards the end of the semester. We'll pick up on this again and continue working on it. So, from these general commands. So, we started by, and I'm going to be coming back to this every so often, saying that you're mostly, or you have a strong motivation in learning something new. And here we're going to have a lot of things that you may learn that are new. And you, quite a few of you, also agree that the database skills would make you more attractive. And then for those who like hard work and like to challenging topics, we have a fighting ground for you.
So much potential to do work.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting let's if I remember, let's at the very end of the course, let's do this again and see how the word cloud looks differently, because I'm quite sure that you're going to have other associations with databases at the very end of this course. And hopefully not too many of those pain and frustration and these types of comments. And we would be expecting this an introductory course to databases. We were already expecting that quite a few of you hadn't programmed databases before. So we are hopefully taking that well into account. So the first assignment you're going to find, if you have programmed before, you're going to find that the first assignment is very trivial. I mean, you've done more complex stuff most likely already. But for the rest of you, it will be a lot of code, a lot of new things to deal with, to handle, to understand, and but hopefully it's a good balance. And for the web applications, we will, as I said, start on Thursday to work on it, to get an understanding. And why did we choose, or I, since I was responsible for that, why did I choose a web environment? Well, first of all, I teach web technology as well, so it's my interest area. But the other thing is that web is becoming a development platform on its own right. So as you can see now, most applications, either they are web applications or they are applications where the server side is a web server anyway. And even if you have a mobile app, you communicate with a server using web protocols most likely. Or not most likely, but in many cases. So because of that, I think the web environment is a good one. And you don't really need to understand web architectures for databases, but since this is also about data modeling, the web has a document structure, the XML and a query language that is not a typical database, but it is a database. I mean, you can have a database of XML documents and you can have a query language, XPath, and it's a database system as well. Okay, thank you for participating. I think we might be doing it more. I'm trying not to overdo it. You know, if you give a kid a new tool or toy, it's going to play with it all the time. I try to avoid doing that. So what we're going to do next is look at databases and their use in applications and systems. And I was thinking that we had spent a bit more time now, but I think we can excuse Dipti at this point in time, unless you have some questions for Dipti before she leaves. You're going to see her in 3 weeks. And we'll just do a little bit, 5 minutes, introducing databases. We know some of your keywords and associations already, but we'll just start there and then we'll take a break in 5 minutes or so. Yeah, we start with a new one. So the next and maybe the final. Since you didn't mention any application areas in your when we talked about what associations, what keywords you associated with databases. Now, what applications and application areas would you think of when you think about databases? What application area would you say is, oh, that's a typical database application area or database application? Yeah, good. You'll see there is some overlap with my slide here, even though what I say were the obvious ones, they came quite late into your picture, so what's obvious to me is not maybe obvious to you. So social media was your first, and it tended to be quite a popular one immediately. But the typical ones, the traditional ones, are the banks, I mean the shops that need to have an inventory, travel industry, where do you want to travel, what are the airlines, what are the ticket prices, warehouses, where do they keep the goods, when do they need to renew, what are the ages of their stocks. Didn't mention much, but technology system. Do you think this one would work, the mobile phone would work without databases? No way. There are at least two very important databases for a mobile phone. One is the one that keeps all your subscriber data, that knows who you are and what your phone is and where you are. That's what's called the home location registry. So it's Telia, Telenor, ICE, whatever. And when you travel, and when you make a call from Spain, there is a database in Spain that says, okay, I need to get information about you, and contacts the database in Norway and gets all the information and then keep the record as long as you are in Spain. So without databases, there wouldn't be any mobile phone system. At least we need something similar to that. Safety and security for surveillance. Big DNA databases for investigations. Computer games, it was up there. And then anything on the internet, more or less. Google, big database. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. The publishing systems where you publish information. Blackboard is a database. It has a database with all, storing all the pages and all the information that's there. Okay, then I think it's good time to have a break. So let's take 15 minutes and then we continue working into the databases.